Kelly, are you online here? I think George just turned you on. Can you hear us, Kelly?
Yes, I'm here.
Hey. So Kelly is joining us tonight from out of state. She's in Colorado having fun. So we're jealous.
Hi, Kelly. How are you?
I'm good. Good. Who is this?
This is Stephanie. I'm Rick's wife.
Oh, hi, Stephanie.
Hi.
I met you at the EMS.
Oh, you did?
About a year and a half ago.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I wish I could say I remember exactly who you are, but I don't. But it's good to talk to you again, Kelly.
You too.
So, Kelly, do you mind if we just jump into this thing tonight?
No, go right ahead.
Okay. Well, I'm probably just going to start with kind of the timeline and at a very high level. How in the world did you come to maybe doing an EMS and even getting involved with the Harboring Hope Group? Because we brought Kelly on. I'm going to explain this one little piece about you, Kelly, because she, as Leslie pointed out, was amazingly skeptical about the Harboring Hope Group. So we thought it'd be great to have a skeptic. So Kelly is our skeptic, and so we're interviewing a skeptic tonight.
So Kelly, how did you come to even be at EMS?
Well, I found out that my husband had a long-term affair. He had an affair for 12 years with one woman and 6 years with another at his work. And we had just finished a series on marriage at Austin Christian Fellowship where Rick Reynolds came and talked to our congregation, and we called the Affair Recovery Center right after that.
Okay.
Right. And so when you discovered that sort of information, what was the impact on you, Kelly?
Well, first off, all I could do was breathe. I just felt like all I could do is breathe. I was devastated. My husband and I, we were very well connected with the church. We were very connected in our Bible study group. We have raised our children as Christian children. I mean, it was devastating to me. I think I stayed in bed for the first 2 weeks after finding out. And like I said, I was devastated. And the only thing I could do at that point and pray. And God got me through those first days of just being able to look to Him and take one very brief moment at a time as I went through that.
So who did you turn to for support kind of in that initial stage?
Did you have any friends or anybody, Kelly, that you got to lean on? Or?
Well, I leaned on mostly my cousin, and she was amazing. She was a very wonderful Christian woman, and she helped me tremendously. I also leaned on my Bible study group, and that didn't turn out quite as well as I'd hoped. It was what I shared with them was more than they could possibly handle.
Yeah.
And I realized very quickly that I was not in a safe place to process the pain that I was going through.
Yeah.
And my friends with my Bible study group, after being best friends for many, many years, just turned into a very awkward and difficult situation.
Isn't that funny? And funny is not the right word. Strange to me that, you know, you can share it with some people and you can watch the expression on their face and you start to know, uh-oh, this was a mistake. It's just more information than they can really handle.
Well, and I think that the initial response was exactly what a Christian would say is, you know, God hates divorce. You need to figure this out and work through it and everything. But the things that came later on were very painful and hurtful, just things that they intended to be helpful but came across as very damaging to our recovery, to my recovery. And pretty soon I felt not only betrayed by my husband, but also my best friends and my Bible group. And that made it really difficult for me.
Oh, Kelly, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Was your cousin local here where you could actually have a talk with her face-to-face? Or?
Oh, yeah. She lives right here in Austin, and she's amazing. She's been one of my biggest supporters and just God asking you to do through all of this.
That's
great. Who cares what anybody thinks? It's about you and God.
That's great.
And that, you know, that was the most important thing that I needed to hear, and she's been extremely sent through that whole process too.
That is a godsend. But you can imagine, Kelly, how many, you know, not just women, sometimes it's a man, of course, how many betrayed people do not have anything like that. Absolutely no support at all. No one right. they feel safe with.
Well, I'm sure, Kelly, you've seen that too in other women that you've met since that point in time, just the lack of support that people have. So once that occurred, you did the EMS, and how did you – was it the EMS that we began to mention the Harboring Hope group, or how did that come about?
Well, my husband was seeing you, Rick, and I was seeing Leslie, and I think over about a few months after we had been seeing Leslie started her Harboring Hope group or started a new group, and she mentioned it to me and thought it would be good for me to get into group. And me being very nervous about telling anybody my story after what had happened to me and losing a friend over it.
Right.
I really felt like, no, well, I've said it to Rick several times, if I'm not telling anybody anything else ever again.
Yeah, yeah. It really does shut you up.
It, you know, it just, it really is an extremely painful experience to deal with the devastation of losing and shattering your dreams with your spouse, but then to see your friends act in a very different way. And even though they love you and they want the best for you, they really just don't know how to handle it. And they say things that are very painful and difficult, and what you need is a very safe place to process your journey, your story. And in group, that's what that was about.
So when, because I remember this, when we began to talk about Harboring Hope, what were some of your objections? I know there was the objection, of course, of, or maybe the vow that you would never tell anyone again because that had not turned out well. What were some of your other fears about maybe Harboring Hope, or did you have other fears?
Well, I don't know that I had some fears. I mean, yeah, it was scary to go in and tell my story in front of some new strangers that I'd never met before. But I think what was really difficult and what made me, for the first probably 3 or 4 weeks of Harboring Hope, tell Leslie, I don't think I can do this, not because of myself, but because I was already much pain. Hearing the other women and the pain that they were going through made it extremely difficult to process my own story and my own journey. I was finding myself crying and praying for them. And then shortly after that, I guess, you know, probably by the 5th week of Harboring Hope, I was like, oh my gosh, I can't wait to see these women because they are such an integral part of my life now. And, you know, I had my Harboring Hope group back, I guess, 15, 16 months ago, and we are all still together.
Oh, that's great.
I know.
What a bond.
It's amazing. They're my best friends. We pray together. We laugh together. We have a great time. But it was all through just sticking it out and walking together through some of our most difficult and most embarrassing, you know, stories of our lives, things that none of us ever suspected. That were happening.
So, Kelly, and a lot of people have that that response you're talking about, where in the initial phase, as other people begin to share their story, it's almost like they're already so devastated. And then as they listen to the other stories, it's like it only seems to amplify that pain. How did you handle that, and why in the world would you see that at this stage as a benefit to you?
Well, some of that amplifying the pain and everything, hearing their stories is definitely true. But then when you see the glimmer of hope that comes from just one of those ladies, and you see what God is doing in their lives, and then you see what God's doing in your own life. And not only that, when we share some of our story and you could get a different perspective of how someone else saw the positive in something that happened, or the positive of what God was doing in your life at that particular moment, I think that gives you that encouragement to see each other go through some really difficult struggles, but also see the hope in each other.
So not only did you experience the pain, but as the other people begin to experience hope, you experienced hope with them too.
Exactly.
That's pretty neat. Can you think of any other reasons that you were struggling or objections, that things that worried you about the group or kind of frightened you?
I was extremely embarrassed. I was ashamed of myself. I felt ugly. I felt dirty. I felt like I must be extremely stupid if my husband fooled me for so many years.
Oh.
And you know, it takes a lot after going through that to truly see yourself as God sees you and not how the world sees you. Because even in my own world, before I found out this, I mean, my thought of how I would handle my husband having an affair is totally different than I'm handling it now. And when you're in the world, you don't know until you walk in someone else's, walk in your own shoes as to how you would truly handle it yourself.
That's right. That is really true.
Yeah. So the embarrassment factor then of having to letting that be your life. I can see that for sure.
It is a new lifestyle. You totally see the world differently, and it's learning how to live your life with new and different information that affects everything you do, along with, you know, your husband and your children and all your loved ones.
So as you begin to share who you really were, and not only that, but what had happened to you, how did you find that the other women responded to you?
Very loving. They were very loving. I know some women would look at me and say, "Oh my gosh, I can't believe that you are doing so well after your husband didn't have an affair for 12 years. I just can't believe that you would do that." And then there were other stories that, from my perspective, were so much more difficult than mine and painful. And, you know, it's one thing Leslie kept saying is don't ever compare yourself to each other, because your stories are so very, very raw and the wounds are extremely deep. And it doesn't matter if it was a one-night stand or a 12-year affair, the pain is real.
That's right.
I think it's important to truly try to separate comparing yourself in your story, but when you see hope, that's when you can kind of latch on to someone else's hope to see a more positive view of how God really wants to use this difficult situation to bring a more positive result.
And it's interesting because that dynamic cannot happen unless you're in a group.
Exactly.
So as you begin to go through the group and as you kind of bore one another's burdens, you cried tears for one another, and as you begin to find acceptance for you even as you go through this, because I think you find even as the hurt spouse you're really unclean, or it feels that way. What are the things specifically in the course, Kelly, if you can remember back that far, because you've had a lot of things happen since then. Were there things in the course that itself that really touched you and helped give you direction? And guys, Kelly's only pausing here because either A, she's offline, or B, her cell phone fell, or C, you know, I didn't warn her about that particular question, so I'm sure she's going, "Wow, I'm going to think hard here."
I have to think hard.
Yeah, and you're at an altitude now, so I know that your brain can't spin.
It's affecting your thinking,
yeah, it's
Kelly.
It's just oxygen deprivation at the altitude you're at right now, I'm sure. So that's really not fair at all.
Let me tell you one thing that I always said in the group is I love being in group because I can tell you guys anything today and know that next week you won't remember a thing because we're all in such trauma.
There is an advantage to that, isn't there, Kelly? You're also shell-shocked.
Well, I know that one of the things that I don't know if you want to tag on to this, that, you know, as I've gone through some of the materials that I really appreciate, is it just so normalizes the whole situation so you feel like you're not blooming insane as a result of what you're going through.
Right. Yeah, I agree. You're not alone. You're not crazy. Your emotions are real. You know, it's It's hard. It's a roller coaster of emotions. I know y'all say that all the time, and it truly is. It's a roller coaster of emotions. You have every conceivable emotion going through your body in any given day. And you may have a good moment, and you may have a horrible moment, and they can be seconds apart.
Right. Janice, the editor, Kelly, was talking the other day about one aspect of the course, and she's just loved it. But one of the things she said is, you know, that whole concept of not forgiving too quickly, she said, you know, some people are going to struggle with that a little bit, you know, that you need to be able to allow yourself the time to go through it. And because it's not always the way people teach things in the Christian community. You know, that there is a time that you have to take as you begin to heal, that, you know, grant yourself the time to do that.
Yeah, I love the way it was, I think it was in the Strong Women, Soft Hearts book of forgiveness is about the little yeses all day long of saying I'm committed to forgiving, but taking a cup of coffee to your husband is a sign of forgiveness. And it takes a whole lot of those little yeses to truly get to a point where you can say, I've truly forgiven. And, you know, it's not just about forgiving the affair or the infidelity. It's truly about forgiving a lot of things that happened during that entire time as well.
Oh, that is so true. So true. Because there's so many individual things that make up the affair. And
right.
When you let yourself really, you know, dwell on it and you try to really kind of wrap your arms around it, those are the things you think about.
Exactly.
And I think one of the things about Leslie, for those of you who are listening to this, that's amazing is her level of empathy and just her compassion.
Oh, definitely. She's amazing.
Yeah, exactly, because that is huge. And just to be able to find that at that moment, because as you know, Kelly, sometimes the advice that people give, and sometimes it's very little compassion. It's just more like, you know, why aren't you getting, you know, why is this taking you so long? You know, you're overreacting. It's not that big a deal. Or to the other extreme of, why aren't you out of there? What are you still doing in that relationship? What's mm-hmm. wrong with you? I mean, it's.
And you know, your loved ones or your friends may say those kind of things. That's so painful that. You really need a group that will walk with you and say, well, what I'm asking you to do in that situation.
Right. And I think, Kelly, the thing you're talking about that is so important is the community, basically a safe community that was set up for you where you could basically begin to process the feelings in a structured format where you could do something with what you were feeling at that point.
Exactly. And it's like you mentioned earlier, to know that you're not crazy. You know, knowing that these are beautiful women, absolutely gorgeous, beautiful Christian women with the most beautiful hearts, and you look at them and say, how could somebody hurt them like that?
Right.
And it's nice to be able to finally turn around and look at yourself and say, okay, if they're so beautiful and such beautiful hearts, then I must be okay.
I was thinking about that a while ago, Kelly, when you were talking about how you felt ugly and, you know, it felt unclean and everything. I thought, but, you know, to see the heart of those other women and to know how beautiful they are before the Lord, especially, that, you know, it has to impact you and make you realize, I am just like that too.
It does. It does.
And that would be,
has a beautiful way of helping you see that. You know, in the way that she handles the group and just keeping everybody kind of focused on that, she keeps trying to bring you back to seeing yourself the way God sees you. And I think she does a wonderful job in that.
Yeah, the other thing I appreciate is she won't let the focus ultimately be your mate because she makes you focus on you and not your mate.
Right.
And it's real easy for those of you who are listening in to want to get in a group like that and let, you know, your husband, your wife ultimately be the thing you want to focus on. And you want to do a comparative analysis of, you know, mine's worse than yours or yours is worse than mine. And in reality, it's all about what's God telling you and what do we need to be doing here? You know, what's the message for me? So what happened, Kelly? So you go through this 12-week group and... you know, I've noticed, the one thing I've noticed about people who've gone through this group, and everybody loves it, but so few, I think the trauma is so great, that whole thing, we won't remember one week to the next, except we'll feel more whole. It's really true, because the trauma is so incredible. But were y'all glad to be able to finally finish the 12 weeks and split up and go on your own way?
No, we are all still very good friends. We get together on a regular basis for dinner, or, we talk about having another breakfast club, get together in the mornings or in the evenings. But these ladies, we have, when the group ended, we all felt like we were losing something really important in our lives. And so from there, I just started an email and got everybody going on, let's do another book. And so we started doing a book and read the book each week. We'd get together once a week for breakfast, and we'd talk through it, and we basically kept the group going. And like I said, it's been about 15 months now, and we are all great friends. We shoot emails back and forth to each other. We ask for prayer requests. We're there for each other when someone has a difficult time, and we're there, whether it's about our spouses or our children or our families or whatever. It doesn't matter anymore. Now it's about our friendships and our walk with God.
Right, and I want to, some of you listening in that are out of state may be going, well, how in the world could that work for us? Because there's no way that we'd be able to go have breakfast together. And actually there is, and or it may sound a little funny, you'd have to all be online at the same time to have breakfast together, and you may be eating a different breakfast. But we have found that doing groups that can still talk, even if it's just by email or telephone or online, some of the other services we're providing, you can do video conferencing for that matter, but being able to continue that contact even after Harboring Hope is something that's going to be very, I think, important. And so it allows you to have that community that's very safe, even though you may be in a small town and not have a way of even talking to other people or even know of anybody who's gone through what you've gone through. And suddenly you can have a community of, you know, other women or men who are exactly where you're at, and you can continue that contact. And that's one of the things we really hope happens as you go through this process, that you continue to grow and support. So tell us a little bit, Kelly, about the second book you did as you began to keep your group together and you all continue to work together after all of this.
Kelly, can I ask you first, just out of curiosity, how many women were in your group?
We had 10 women in our group, and one of them got really busy and dropped out of the group shortly after we broke up. But the nine of us are still together, and one's moved out of Austin, and the rest of us are still in Austin, but we all still communicate through email.
That's great.
And
yeah.
And if people have questions, but I was going to say real quick, if people have questions for Kelly or about the Harboring Hope group, would you please call us at area code 512-637-9673. That's 512-637-9673, because Kelly's really quick on her feet now that we've got her oxygen deprived, and she can answer any question that you would ever have. So y'all continue to do email contact and things like that.
You had just asked her a question.
Yes, about the book. What did y'all do? What study did you go through at that point?
Well, Leslie recommended that we do a book by Paula Reinhart called Strong Women, Soft Hearts.
Great book.
And a great book, because we take one chapter a week. We highlight the things that God truly speaking to us through that chapter, and at the back of the book there's questions that kind of help you process your life journey. It's not about betrayal or infidelity or sexual addictions. It's just about your walk with God and you becoming a woman, a strong woman with a soft heart. And that was a really good book to try to focus our efforts into who we are with God and who we want to be and who He's calling us to be through this journey. And it took us about 15 weeks to go through the book. And some weeks if we had a difficult week, we may not even work on the chapter. But the part was that we had a safe place to process our story in our group, and we didn't have any fears of judgment or disappointment because we had already walked together through the most difficult part of our journeys, and that was the beginning of the group with Harboring Hope.
Absolutely. And so y'all did that for about 15 weeks. What would happen in your group, Paula, if
she's the author, honey.
I'm so bad. I'm losing my mind here. Sorry about that. So what would happen as you would go through the book, if you said 1 week, if someone's having a hard time, how did y'all end up handling that then?
We would pray with her. We would listen to her difficulties. We would ask her what's God asking her to do. You know, what is she doing in her quiet time? Where is she doing quiet time? And you know, most of it was just being able to listen and to pray with her that God would truly speak to her and tell her how to handle that difficult situation.
So, Kelly, I can only imagine, that, especially in the beginning of Harboring Hope, that when you were crying for the other women, that... And I'm actually, this is a leading question because I kind of know the answer to this. So in some ways, Harboring Hope didn't help you necessarily be calmer right afterwards. Sometimes you would actually feel the pain more intensely. How'd your husband respond to that?
I think he was afraid that we were spending too much time on them. I don't know that he was worried so much about, I don't know, maybe it was more that I might compare my own story to theirs, and if I heard something they were doing, was I now concerned that he was doing some of the same things that maybe their husband had done? I don't know that, he and I really didn't talk about that. He just knew that I was sad about the ladies and their difficult situations, and because we never talked about, I never shared any of their stories with him, but he knew that, I would say one of the ladies was having a really tough day today, and it just really makes me sad. And he would try to comfort me through that, but I think maybe there was a part of him that might have thought, ooh, I wonder if that makes her better or worse.
Right. Because I've heard multiple men talk about that, going, holy smoke, you know, how could this be helping? Every time she goes to that group, you know, she's a lot worse after that group, you know, and that's, how's that helpful? Because as men, I think we tend to compartmentalize and kind of walking through the pain and maybe we're wusses and we just don't have the courage to kind of face that sort of pain. But walking through that pain and facing it and processing it is very frightening to a lot of men, and they kind of go, well, this isn't helpful. But in the long run, for you, it began to help decrease the pain, did it not?
It definitely decreased the pain, and it actually got to a point where my husband would say, aren't you meeting with your ladies? Aren't you going to go see them? Because you always come home in such a bad mood.
Yeah, so if you're a little upset with him, is he kind of saying, isn't it time for that group thing you do?
Go to group, go see your ladies or something. But,
yeah, call your ladies. Well, and it's funny because I've also had other men sit there and start doing that, going, can you call your group? Exactly. They'll sit there and start saying, call them, contact them. You need to, because if you don't know what to do, sometimes the other women can actually be a tremendous help.
And, you know, sometimes it's not what a person says or does. It's really about talking out loud your story so that you can hear yourself and process it a little bit. And maybe somebody has an idea or advice, but it's really more about you processing. I love to journal because that helps me tremendously. But I think just help you say something out loud, and whether you see the reaction on someone's face or no reaction, just being able to hear yourself say something kind of helps you process it a little different.
Absolutely. That's exactly what I think tends to happen. So one of the things, you know, that we believe is that God does an amazing job of transforming our losses and uses them in some pretty amazing ways. So what are the ways that even at this length away from ground zero, has God begun to, I guess, taking you from being a skeptic, thinking a group wouldn't be that helpful for you? So I just want you to share kind of what all of that has taken you to at this point.
Okay, well, first off, you know, one that said I'm not telling anybody anything about my story ever again after what happened to me, but through group and continuing to meet with these ladies even after the Harboring Hope group, and we grew together to be such good friends and just amazing ladies, I realized that those are my best days, that when I'm with them and I see the encouragement and I see the hope, and even though they may be going through some difficult times and I see just the beauty of God is doing in each one of them and in their lives, those are the days that truly gave me encouragement and hope. And from that, I started a group called Journey to Oneness, which is a very much like Harboring Hope, but through Austin Christian Fellowship. It's a group for women to process in a place, in a group of 7 to 8 other women that are traveling in very similar journeys. But we study the book Strong Women, Soft Hearts. And once they finish that book, then we go on to another book that Paula Reinhart wrote, which is Better Than My Dreams. And it's just amazing to see what God has done in their lives and also in mine. You know, my husband and I, we've been married for 22 years. And during the years of his affairs, we had a lot of struggles and a lot of problems and just a tremendous amount of issues and everything. But once everything came out in the open, he turned his heart back to God. And now, 20 months later, we are closer than we've ever been. We pray together every night. We have devotion time every night. Our marriage is stronger than it's ever been. And like I said, we've been married 20 years. And it's kind of nice that finally the last, I guess, year has been the best year of our marriage. But I get a lot of things from God and seeing other women and just watching them go through very difficult, painful journeys, but seeing the hope from other women that have traveled in this journey and seeing what's taking them.
Right. You know, I think it's, we tell people all the time, Kelly, that in reality, once they actually go through this, the probabilities of them having the marriage they've always wanted is actually much higher than divorcing and trying to find someone else and beginning to build all over again. And that's in our culture, I think we always think that you're better off to divorce the bum and just start over. And I just find that you're really a lot closer to what you want with what you got.
Well, good grief, you have no idea what kind of baggage the next guy you marry is going to be dragging into the marriage.
But
well, once I heard in the very beginning, if your husband is truly seeking reconciliation and choosing to seek God through this reconciliation process, he has a 95% success rate of truly changing and becoming godly. And if you divorce, then the average, I guess, number of people out there having affairs is 65% of all men under the age of 40. Having affairs, so you have a 95% chance of success in your marriage, or you have a 65% chance of having another marriage with the same issues.
That's a no-brainer, isn't it?
Well, you say it's a no-brainer, but when you're going through that much pain,
I believe me, I know. Yeah, you think it would be better to be rid of the bum, but not true.
Right.
And for those of you joining us late on the program here, sorry about that. I just cut my wife off.
Oh, I just wanted to tell Kelly, congratulations on that group that you started at ACF.
Oh, thanks. It's amazing. There's some amazing women out there. And, you know, the stories are extremely difficult, but they are beautiful women, and they are walking with God, and God is doing some amazing things in each one of them. And so it's truly a blessing to see these women and their amazing hearts. And, you know, even though they're traveling in difficult situations, the blessings that they give to each other are just amazing. They encourage each other. They love each other. They pray for each other. And they support each other.
Mm-hmm. And for the people joining the program late, we're talking with Kelly, who was betrayed about 20 months ago. And her husband had a 12-year affair, and they actually are doing, as she was just reporting, very, very well. And you can call us if you have any questions for Carol Kelly at area code 512-637-9673. And Kelly actually runs a group at Austin Christian Fellowship, and we're going to give contact information for that in a second. And if you want to contact us at the Affair Recovery Center, you can also contact us at affairrecovery.com and join our opt-in list for just the pre-notification list for the New Harboring Hope group that will be coming out in a few weeks. And certainly we want to provide the same types of help for you that Kelly and these other women, actually hundreds of women, have found through this group. John and Leslie have done just an amazing job, or I'll say Leslie and John, because Leslie's done started this. John just got to tag on because he married her. That's probably not. But it's true, though. That's if he okay. hadn't married her, he would not be a part of this. But
that's true.
But they have a good marriage. But again, you can go to affairrecovery.com and just opt in, and we would love to give you some information about that. So, Kelly, if people are interested in – they're in the Austin area, because we have a lot of people that are outside of Austin that listen to this program, but in the Austin area, if they are interested in the ACF group, Austin Christian Fellowship, how would they contact you?
They can contact me through email. It's Journey, J-O-U-R-N-E-Y. The number 2, oneness, O-N-E-N-E-S-S at gmail.com, or you can go to www.acfellowship.org, and there's information about Journey to Oneness there as well.
Good. And so once they would contact you, you could give them information, or somebody would give them information about the group then?
Yes, I would give them information about the group, find out what day of the week and evening that works for them, and they would get them plugged into the next available group.
So y'all actually have multiple groups going at this point?
Yes, we do. We have a few at Austin Christian Fellowship, and we also have one going at Hill Country Bible Church.
And that's sad to me, in a sense, just because you and I both know, Kelly, kind of the magnitude of the problem out there. And I'm just glad that in Austin we're fortunate enough to actually have a support network because of people like you who have gone through the program and actually begun to add additional resources. So we're really fortunate. But, you know, people in Houston, actually, or Dallas, aren't as fortunate as we are in Austin.
I agree. We are very fortunate to have some groups here in Austin that will help the men and the women through their processes, and Affair Recovery Center has been a tremendous resource for my husband and I.
Well, Kelly, I want to thank you so much for joining us. I mean, you're a blessing. You always have been. I want to say, can I tell a little story about you, maybe, if I'm a little careful? She's going, uh-oh. But the one thing I noticed, as a guy, it was so... I felt so bad because I know that so many times I just had trouble responding to you without also hurting you. So, you know, I just thank God Leslie was on staff so that Leslie could say things the right way in estrogenese, because a lot of times when I would speak in testosteronese, I know that it was confusing to you. So I was really glad that Leslie was there to help.
Yes, she was very helpful.
She really was. She was wonderful. Well, I hope that the two of you have a great time. Go get back on your oxygen tank, you know, try to get your brain replenished, find the oxygen bar there, and give your husband a big hug for me, okay?
Okay. Thanks, Rick.
Thank you, Kelly.
Thanks, Kelly.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And that was Kelly, and she is someone who's gone through the Harboring Hope course, and she was someone who was skeptical about the course. And I think we may do one more skeptic interview, because I find those to be sort of interesting, because I know when people are thinking about joining this course, there are going to be others who are skeptical and kind of wonder, well, is this really worth it? Is it not worth it?